Deeply embedded on the front lines of the War of the Worldviews, here's your host, Kevin Swanson.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Generations. Kevin Swanson here with you, Executive Director for Christian Home Educators, also a pastor, but the reason I'm here, I'm a father of five, and raising my children in a day where we pay taxes. That's right, my son paid taxes for the first time in his life. He's 15 years old, he's making money now, Dave. And Dave Buhner also in studio with me. And, you know, tax day is coming up in just a few days now. And, Dave, interesting, elections are coming up in 6 months from now. I always thought that was interesting. Elections 6 months away from tax day. It's about as far as you can get from tax day. Hopefully you'll forget by the time you make it to election day and you will vote for more taxes, which is what Americans tend to do.
Well, I think the reason for that, Kevin, is the politicians need to get some money so they can redistribute it to buy the votes later.
Yeah. Yeah, and my son was shocked. I mean, here, you mean I got to pay money to the government? I said, that's right. You got to pay money, as my son got his first taste of tyrannical government last night. And you know what? You know, Almanzo didn't have to fill out seven forms. I think my son filled out four, as I recall. But Almanzo Wilder, the farmer boy, remember the guy who plowed the fields with his dad back in the 1870s? Laura Ingalls Wilder writes on Farmer Boy in her series Little House on the Prairie. Anyway, Almanzo did not have to fill out tax forms in the 1870s and 1880s. Almanzo did not have to give up 46% of his earnings for Social Security taxes, federal income tax, sales tax, excise tax, state income tax, local tax, property tax, et cetera, et cetera. These things did not exist, my friends, 120 years ago. Of course, you didn't live in the greatest debtor nation on the face of the earth back then either. On the virtual edge of bankruptcy, it's ironic, Dave, we've got both an increase in taxes and a massive increase in consumer debt and federal and state debt today in America, unmatched by any other period in our nation's history. I think we bought into some economic theories that may not be biblical, and that's going to be the topic today on our program. Ben Franklin wrote something very interesting in a little book on money that I gave to my son as a present several years ago. This is what Ben Franklin said. It would be thought a hard government that should tax its people one-tenth part of their time to be employed in its service. Well, there it is, ladies and gentlemen. Ben Franklin, 200 years ago, it would be thought a hard government that would tax its people a tenth of their income. And, ladies and gentlemen, we are way past a tenth. Yes, we are past a tenth by at least four times. About 46% of Americans' money goes to government expenditure, either in debt or direct taxation. Also, Keith Hopkins from Cambridge University found that Roman taxation reached a maximum of 13 HS per year for the average citizen, well under 5% of the GDP of the Roman Empire. He points out that the tax load for the Romans was greater than England and France of the 1500s, but the tax load for the mighty Roman Empire was far, 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 far less than that levied by the modern states of the 1800s and 1900s. Such states as the modern tyrannies that you see today, as in the tyranny of the United States of America, taxing its citizens to 46% of its wealth, is unprecedented in the history of mankind. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the tyranny, and we're going to be talking about a biblical view of taxation next on Generations. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to Generations. Kevin Swanson here with you. Dave Buhner also in studio, a couple of taxpayers here. And we weren't paying our taxes yesterday. My son was sitting down there doing his taxes for the first time and discovering what tyranny is all about in a real life experience. But Dave, I don't think a lot of people understand that this is a tyranny. Some 46% of our income taxed by national debt and by all the forms of taxation around us. And people don't acknowledge that this is a severe tyranny. It's not as if some big wicked guy with the black hood on is whipping us ruthlessly every single day in the basements of our homes. This isn't the form of tyranny that we once had. It's sort of a tyranny light. Yeah, we've talked about slavery light and tyranny light. We got rid of slavery, but now we have a slavery to the state, a slavery to big government, slavery to debt and banks This is the sort of slavery that modern man enjoys, and he enjoys that slavery, doesn't he?
Well, I think they find it a fine and pleasant misery, because after all, our roads are paved, we have high standards of living. People love to pay taxes. Every November, it seems on my ballot anyway, people are falling over themselves to pay more in taxes. They like this.
Oh, they absolutely enjoy tyranny. And Dave, I think it's because ultimately they don't really like freedom. Remember what Sam Adams said? The founder of this nation, my friends, the father of the war for American independence, Samuel Adams, he said, if you love wealth more than liberty, if you love the tranquility of servitude better than the animating contest of freedom, then depart from us in peace. We ask not your counsel nor your arms. May your chains rest lightly upon you. And may posterity forget that you were our countrymen. This is the kind of attitude that beat in the hearts of our founders, Dave, hardly beats in the heart of the average guy who sits around the house playing video games and has very little contact with reality, let alone liberty, today. I think the real issue here, Dave, is that we've got people that don't understand that things fall apart when government tyrannizes a nation. Think about how much government is taxing the average family. This is Senator Phil Graham. Let me just quote this guy. Well, Phil Graham's from Texas, right? Phil Graham, in 1950, the average American family with two kids sent one out of every $50 it earned to Washington, D.C. Today, that same family sends one out of every $4 it earns to Washington. And, Dave, you know, between 1950 and 2000, you know what happened? As we were being taxed, one out of every $4 up from one out of every $50, you know what happened? We had some 5% of our kids in daycare. Now 64% of toddlers, kids under 4 years of age, have their mothers working outside of the home and their latchkey. Yes, my friends, the incidence of latchkey children increased from 5% to 64% as government utterly tyrannizes the populace. And yet, Dave, again, these mothers love the tyranny. They love to be taxed. They love to work to compensate for government taking one out of every $4 of those families' monies.
Kevin, I think there's a fundamental shift in the way that we view economics in America. And it had to do with Keynesian and others, but predominantly with Marx. And that's we have a metric for the value of labor. And that metric is dollars and cents, taxable dollars and cents. And so a mother who stayed home and raised her children was considered extraordinarily valuable prior to 1950. After 1950, in the modern tax system, her value is very, very reduced. In fact, she's worth nothing because she's not taxable. There is no monetary value associated with her labor. Therefore, it's not worth it.
That's right. And the government doesn't want her home. The government does not want her home. My friends, the government wants her working so that she can be taxed, so that government can grow, because everybody knows life is all about this government. Life is not about family anymore. Family is not a value, my friends. Dave, this is the ultimate Platonic Marxist vision and Rousseauian vision of the dissolution of the family. Again, the family sphere is not important. Please make sure the family doesn't exist as an oikonomia, as an economic unit, as a loyal economic unit to each other. Make sure the family does not exist. Make sure each member of the family is plugged into some socialist aspect of human society, whether it be corporations or governments or you name it. Make sure the family doesn't exist. And Marx said it in the Communist Manifesto. The whole idea is to abolish the family. He says, yeah, not everybody's going to enjoy that, but that's the worldview. And ladies and gentlemen, that's the worldview people live today. That's the economic vision of the 21st century.
Of course, Marx has worked his program, at least in this country, really outstandingly well, because if the woman is out working and no longer seeing a value at home, then she's got to send her children off to daycare. Now the children are seen as an economic liability, no longer an economic asset. After all, their value is zero. They're not taxable. Why have children?
Yeah. And so the end result is, of course, this birth implosion we're seeing. Average birth rate among whites in America now 1.7, and that's well under replacement level, my friends. Yes, birth implosion's happening everywhere. The worldview is primarily socialistic and very much existentialistic. But, ladies and gentlemen, that's not our worldview. What does the Bible say about taxation? Very simply, 1 Samuel chapter 8, let me read it to you. This is what the Bible says about taxation, in case anybody cares what God thinks. I know what we're working with Marx and Rousseau and Plato. I know that's your worldview, and that's what we're taught in American public schools. But just for a moment, aren't you curious what God says about taxation? Just for a moment, Aren't you curious what God says about taxation? Let me read to you. 1 Samuel 8. The king will take the tenth of your seed, of your vineyards, give to his officers, to his servants, and you shall cry out in that day because of your king which you shall have chosen you, and the Lord will not hear you in that day. God is warning these people, if you get a king, chances are he's going to wind up wanting to centralize power and increasing the size of his coffers to the extent where he's taking a tenth, 10%. And the Bible calls that a tyranny, my friends. We are four times the tyranny in the United States of America today, as defined by God, in case anybody cares what God thinks about these sorts of things. Dave, I don't know. Do people care about what God thinks?
Apparently not as many as I'd hope.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Because you got outvoted in Amendment C in this last election. Ladies and gentlemen, Colorado, we saw an increase in taxes again in our state because people voted for it in the November election. They love big taxes. That's what Americans vote for. And by the way, do you know what our taxes go to pay for? I ripped these out of the Colorado tax guide and also out of the federal tax guide. Start with the federal government. Federal government, of the 100%, 37% of taxes go to the violating of family responsibilities, Social Security, Medicare, and other retirement programs. Dave, again, what is this but the ignoring of Matthew chapter 15, where God says, hey, the obligation for taking care of your parents in their old age is not the government and it's not the church. It is you, my friend. And yet, here's what we got. The modern world says, forget the family. Who cares about the family? Who cares about the biblical obligations of children caring for parents? No, 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 no. 37% of federal expenditures have got to go to Social Security and welfare, et cetera, et cetera.
So 1/12 of every dollar you earn from your hard labor goes to funding the federal government's destruction of your family.
That's exactly right. Whereas God says you should have taken that money, invested it, and had it available for your parents and taking care of them in their old age. Of course, inheritance hardly exists either. We talked about that before in the program. But also social programs, 20%. There you go, Dave. You've got, you know, 20% of American tax monies at the federal level goes to pay for the destruction of many, many, many families. 70% of these kids in inner cities are born without fathers. It is the utter destruction of the family in inner cities. 20% is destroying those inner city families.
And, of course, destroying the church, the
yeah.
Ministry of Mercy.
Exactly. Also, you have physical, human, and community development. That's illegitimate spending, of course. Net interest on the debt is now 7%. All right, so what you have is you have about 24% of it going to national defense. That's legitimate. We've got about 75% of federal spending, a total waste. And on the state level, you've got 46% going to education. And, of course, that's Rousseau and Marx's vision. Public education for all. Make sure we plug the children into a socialist system early on so that children will be totally socialized and families are relieved of the obligation and responsibility. Shall we add right and freedom? We ought to. Of dealing with their own children's education. That, my friends, is a biblical worldview. Yes, education belongs to fathers and mothers. Ephesians 6:4, Book of Proverbs, Deuteronomy 6, etc., etc. That's what the Bible says about education, but we've tossed that out, and almost half of state budgets now go to education. Social assistance, 25%. That's more Great Society stuff. That's, again, more destruction of the family, taking away the responsibility and obligation of churches and families to deal with the area of charity and placing it under the civil government. Also, business, community, and consumer affairs, that's nothing but controlling and hampering the free market and business, et cetera, et cetera. So we took away all of that, all the illegitimate responsibilities and expenditures of the Colorado government. What we find is about 10% or 15% of taxation and expenditures are really legitimate. All right, so Dave, that's what you got. Now, biblically speaking, the government is responsible for defense and justice. This is Matthew chapter 13, the purpose of government is to deal with the bad guy and to go get the bad guy and bring God's wrath, God's justice upon the bad guy. This is clear Romans 13 stuff. Again, a biblical view of government says government's purpose is to deal with the bad guy, whether it be the bad guy who comes in and bombs us, that's defense, or the bad guy who robs banks and rapes and kills within your society, that would be the criminal justice system. So this is the purpose for government. When government does the sorts of things it's not supposed to do, what happens? Well, you get a world where half of marriages end in divorce and 70% of children are born without fathers and the destruction of the family. All right, ladies and gentlemen, this is the purpose for government. There is a limitation, a biblical limitation for taxation. It's clearly 10%. And here's the other thing, Dave. God requires a tithe of 10%. Now, what does it mean when government comes and taxes us to 45% of our income when God only gets 10%? What is the government saying?
Well, the government's saying it's more ultimate than God.
Certainly more tyrannical than God and meaner than God. A biblical view of taxation will limit taxation, my friends. It will limit taxation. What forms of taxation are good forms of taxation? That which is least onerous. That which maintains the principles of liberty. That which favors bottom-up government to top-down government. That which maintains privacy. Dave, think about how we have completely given up our rights to privacy by all of these tax forms. Think about everything the government knows about you and I that at one time, even, 50, 80 years ago, the government didn't have a clue about any of that. Government is into every single filing cabinet, every single bank account, every single aspect of our lives today.
That's because the tax code isn't just a means to gain revenue for the state. It is a means to control behavior. Some behaviors are taxed more than other behaviors, with the idea that that which you tax, you'll get less of, and that which you fund, you'll get more of. It just happens that we're funding illegitimacy and taxing productivity.
And this is why the income tax is so onerous, my friends. At least it would be to guys like Samuel Adams and Patrick Henry. Imagine what these guys would have thought, Dave, if they had gotten a 400-page, maybe it was 150-page, tax manual from the IRS and say, here, fill all this out. Patrick Henry would be incensed that the government would have that form of tyranny, would legislate that form of tyranny over the people. Here's a comment that Walter Williams made in the Washington Times a few years ago. He said, in 1787, federal spending was about $3 million a year, or about $1 per citizen. By 1910, the Fed spent a little more than $600 million, or $6.75. By 1929, the Fed spent $3 billion per year, $29 per person. Today, the federal government spends over $4 billion a day. That comes to more than $6,000 per year per person, or controlling for inflation, a 9,000% increase in federal spending between 1929 and today. The colonists, who were paying about 67 cents a year in taxes, went to war with Great Britain. A great example. I mean, these guys would not tolerate what we're tolerating today. It's interesting. People have really come to embrace this sort of thing. Well, they've given up their rights to privacy, but also, I think the most onerous form of taxation is not the income tax, Dave. I would put it with property tax or maybe inheritance taxation.
I think the property tax gets my number one bid because you are never out of debt to the state. And if you don't continue to pay rent for that which you own, that which is sacredly yours in the way the Old Testament approaches land, you can't pass it on to your kids. The inheritance that you have in your land is taken up by the government if you don't pay the rent.
That's right. That's right. And again, the Bible says it's a terrible thing when you remove the ancient landmarks. And the Bible really holds personal property as sacred, that this is not something that any old Ahab could be able to come over and tax and then eventually confiscate. This is something that ought to be handed down from generation to generation. This is the way the Bible looked at private property, a bastion, a foundation stone in the whole concept of liberty and freedom, something we're not enjoying in the 21st century. Exodus 30 and verse 15 also talks about taxation when it says the rich shall not give more and the poor shall not give less than half a shekel in that case. There you have a head tax. Exodus 23, 2 and 3, you shall not follow a crowd to do evil, nor shall you testify in a dispute so as to turn aside after many to pervert justice. You shall not show partiality to a poor man in his cause. A very, very, very clear law given to the civil magistrate here. Again, folks, this is a government law given to the civil magistrate. You shall never, ever, ever prefer a poor man or show any partiality to a poor man. And yet, as of 2001, what do we have in the United States of America? The richest 10% of investors in this nation are forced to pay 65% of the United States income taxes. At the same time, the bottom 50% pay barely 4%. This is an envious trend. It's been in play since the 1980s and 1990s. All the way through the last 2 to 3 decades, we've had a huge increase in what we call graduated taxation in America. And why is this? Because Americans don't follow Exodus 30 and Exodus 23. We follow the worldview of Karl Marx, who, in the Communist Manifesto, said, you have got to levy a graduated income tax system in your nation if you're going to see the socialist vision come to pass in your nations. And Dave, guess what happened? In most Western nations across the world, including America, guess what happened since Karl Marx wrote those words in 1846?
But we've adopted a progressive taxation system, and it's going to continue to snowball because there's a lot more people who are low income who are not paying taxes than there are people who are high income who are paying all the taxes. The rule of the mob here rules.
Folks, it's a worldview issue. The question is, where is your authority? Where are you going to go for your truth? Are you going to follow the morals, the ethical persuasion of men like Karl Marx or Jean-Jacques Rousseau, who insisted on an equality economically across classes? This is the worldview of Karl Marx, and this is the worldview that Republicans and Democrats alike have been supporting for decades upon decades upon decades. That's why we have a huge graduated income tax system in America, where the bottom 50% of American taxpayers only pay 4% of the taxes. What does the Bible say? The rich shall not give more, and the poor shall not give less. Exodus 30 and verse 15. Therefore, the best form of tax is obvious from Scripture. If anybody cares what God thinks here, it's not property taxation. It's not inheritance taxation that takes away a man's right to his property and his liberty. It's not an income tax system where you give up all your rights to privacy, at least on your personal matters, your personal financial matters. It is the best form of taxation, a head tax, where everybody gets taxed a constant amount, and everybody pays that constant amount. Ladies and gentlemen, that is freedom. And God's law, if anybody wants to live free in a free country, God's law will preserve that freedom. God's law gives us a clear, clear mandate as to how a government ought to tax. And unless we receive God's word as the standard for how we live our lives, as the ethical source for our epistemological view of life, then, my friends, we will live in tyranny. And that's exactly what you have in the United States of America. I would encourage you to use the Word of God as the standard for your ethics. I would encourage you to study it for how to live your life in every area of life, not just politics, but in family, in economics, in all areas of life. Ladies and gentlemen, you can interact with this program by emailing me at host@kevinswanson.com. And you can hear the program anytime, anywhere in the world, at kevinswanson.com. This is Kevin Swanson, inviting you back again next time as we lay down a vision for the next generation.